when individuals get out, not only are they maybe needing that little mental health boost, they're needing maybe to get that camaraderie, to get that community that they've lost. Because a lot of times when you got out of the military, I know for me, it felt like I'd fallen off of a cliff. The friends that I had in the military were still in the military and spread all across the country. But the friends that I had at home didn't know the person that was coming back. They expected the same person that left to be the person coming back. So being able to build a community again, to build those friendships and that support group, that was very important. So we started our family support activity.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hello and welcome to the Strong by Design podcast. I'm your host for today's show, Tanya Fines, and I am here with Anna Tenzi. I just asked you, I got it wrong. Please, will you please tell me your last name again?
Tanzella.
Okay, so I'm here with Anna Tanzella from the Camaraderie Foundation, and I had the opportunity to briefly have a brief conversation with Anna at a business, or it was an expo at the Tampa Club, specifically for nonprofits in the Tampa Bay area. And I was really struck by what they're doing. If any of you have listened to any of my other podcasts, you know that I'm very big on charitable organizations. And one of my big ones is anything to do with veterans. And this Camaraderie Foundation is specific to veterans and military and their families. And they're doing really amazing things in Tampa Bay. So I'm going to bring Anna up front here, and I want her to talk all about this. So welcome, Anna, to our show.
Tanya, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I am absolutely passionate about what we do at Camaraderie Foundation. Our mission is to help heal the invisible wounds of war for veterans, active duty military, and their families. And we do that in so many different ways, but just really excited to be able to share with you.
Well, and I'm so excited that you're here and, willing to talk with us about it and let those of us listening, those of you that are tuning in, know more about it. To be honest, there's a lot of nonprofits in the area, a lot of them doing really wonderful things. But sometimes if you're philanthropically driven or you're looking, it's the holiday season, a lot of times people are looking for places and groups and organizations to contribute to. People get in that spirit of giving. But we don't always know what's mm-hmm. going on behind the scenes, because you do hear stories of organizations that, funding's not being used very well, or it's being used to pay CEOs or people on the board. But there's a lot of organizations out there that are taking the funds, they're taking the donations, and they're doing really fabulous things and making a huge difference. So, but before we get into that, there's also, you have quite an impressive background. You are a military veteran yourself. You served 8 years in the Air Force.
I did. I was in the...
So what was that like?
Actually, absolutely amazing. I was in the Air Force in a time when there, females were really kind of breaking in and getting to do a lot more than they were. I was a personnel officer and had an amazing amount of responsibility and friends, to be honest. It was just an amazing time. I learned a lot about leadership, about management, about people, and I've taken that with me ever since.
Now, was that, during your time serving, and thank you for your service, how much of a catalyst or driving force was that for you to become involved with Camaraderie Foundation?
No, 100% a catalyst. When I left the military, I worked in the civilian sector for 13 years, working with employee benefits and consulting all across the nation. I loved travel, so it was a perfect job for me. But then I really wanted to get back into working with nonprofits. So I left that organization, got my degree in social work. I already had a degree in master's in business. So went into working with adults that had intellectual and developmental disabilities, but I just had that heart to get back to work with veterans. When I moved to Florida 8 years ago, I knew that's what I wanted. I came down here, I didn't have a job, I didn't have a path other than, maybe I'll try out the VA, but when I decided and looked at that and decided it really wasn't for me, really within a couple of weeks, I felt like I was led to find Kamarani Foundation. Through a small posting on Edith Bush Foundation, I found that, and then I've been here ever since.
That's amazing. So you've been with them since 2016, that's correct?
Straight.
Wow, so 7 years. Okay, yeah. So let's, for the sake of those who aren't familiar with Kamarani Foundation and what it is, I mean, you've told us the mission statement, but can you tell us more about what all you provide? Because I had time over the weekend to look at your website, and you do provide a lot of services. This isn't just veterans or their families, you know, active and no longer active military coming in and looking or needing, you know, one specific thing, or, you know, you do a lot. And I think it would really benefit the listeners for you to talk a little bit about the huge scope of what you provide and what you do for veterans, active, non-active, and their families.
Julian, absolutely. Our biggest mission is to provide counseling services for veterans, active duty military, and their families. When we're looking at veterans, we're not looking at just those individuals that have an honorable discharge. We're looking at anybody that's ever served with a DD-214. Because one of the things that we do know is that individuals sometimes have received a bad conduct discharge or a less than honorable discharge because they have some underlying issues, some underlying mental health issues. And so being able to help them even pass that service, that's very important. But it's not just that individual, it's their entire family unit. And when we look at that, it's everywhere from the 4-year-old child that's mimicking dad's PTSD behaviors to the grandparent who is a caregiver or a friend that has been in that support circle that's been that individual. So everybody in between. We don't really hold a definition of that true nuclear family. It's who was ever in that individual's support circle. Now, we started that. That was the main goal of this organization. We only have 3 full-time staff. Everybody else is volunteers or the 650 counselors that we have that are contracted with us all across the nation. That's what makes us mighty. But because we started that mission, we started seeing other things that needed to happen. Because not only when individuals get out, not only are they maybe needing that little mental health boost, they're needing maybe to get that camaraderie, to get that community that they've lost. Because a lot of times when you got out of the military, I know for me, it felt like I'd fallen off of a cliff. The friends that I had in the military were still in the military and spread all across the country. But the friends that I had at home didn't know the person that was coming back. They expected the same person that left to be the person going back. So being able to build a community again, to build those friendships and that support group, that was very important. So we started our family support activities, which are the family fun day and resource referrals and other things that, you know, kind of like that mixed bag of everything else that needs to happen. Because we can't provide everything. But we've built a great network of individuals of other nonprofits that when somebody comes to me and, hey, they need housing or they need rental assistance, I know who to send them to. I don't just send them to a blank number and say, hey, just call this number. No, I can say, hey, call this number and talk to this person and they can help you, or I can make that introduction for them. Those family fun days that we have, those are what really builds up that community. And it has a hidden purpose. So we're getting ready to have a huge one on December the 2nd at SeaWorld. And it's about to be able to build the connections and to build that community with an underlying agenda of when veterans get together, we're a stubborn breed. We don't like to ask for help. But if you get there and you're talking to other people that have had help, then maybe you're better, more likely to ask for help yourself. And then the last offshoot of what we decided to start doing is called our transition assistance. And it's the bulk of that is a mentor leadership program to help pair transitioning veterans with business leaders in the area to understand how to network, where to network, sometimes building confidence, sometimes helping build skills. Really kind of depends. And so that's kind of the last pedal of what we put on there in a nutshell.
Wow, that's a lot. I love when you were talking about the SeaWorld get together, that event.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that the sort of not really hidden purpose, but the underlying agenda there is getting veterans that have or are getting help talking with other veterans. Because I think that is, I mean, that's massive insight into, you know, the psyche and, you know, how, like, I agree with you. I've been very fortunate since living in Tampa. I've been able to get involved with different veterans groups or just help out at different things and meet a lot. I have several friends now that are former military, and you are a very tough breed, a very proud breed. And it isn't easy for a lot of people to ask for help. But I think with veterans, there's this, you know, they're supposed to be together and tough and have all their, you know, there's really no problems. But what you talked about earlier in having gone away, having done the work and doing your tours and then coming back to life at home, it's, that can be really tricky and really difficult to navigate, you know? So I think that's really wonderful, the SeaWorld event. I think that's lovely. Can you talk a little bit about whether it's one particular or a couple, maybe stories or people that you can share without sharing private details, but share with us how your organization has helped them and sort of like some different, like, you know, these stories of hope and inspiration?
You know, I have so many of those wonderful stories. It always amazes me whenever we go out and do some sort of tabling event or go out into the community, the people that come up and just share. Our case manager, Ruben Gonzalez, and I, we're both prior military. And I think we have this knack for getting people sometimes just talk. So one of the individuals that we were able to help, he was a former Green Beret, seen a lot of combat. And when he came back, he couldn't go home. He just got in a car and started driving. He'd been on 15 deployment. It was his 15th one coming back. He couldn't go home. He just kept driving and driving and driving until his family and friends asked him to call us. And we were able to have him drive to one of our counselors. That counselor got out and met him at his car to start a therapy session. That one just blows me away every time I think about it. But I think one of the very first stories that ever hit my heart as much is the four-year-old child. It's a four-year-old little girl that was mimicking her dad's PTSD behaviors in preschool. The preschool teacher knew about us and talked to the mom. And the mom then reached out to us, and we were able to get that child help. But because that child was getting help and the dad started seeing the difference, dad came to us for help too. So we were able to help heal that whole family and make a difference. But sometimes it's in the small ways. Our mentor leadership program isn't meant to be a counseling program. It is meant to be a transition assistance networking, building a community of support around your businesses, around who you want to be when you grow up. It's not meant to be counseling. After one of the classes, a gentleman who I knew had struggled in the past sent me the most emotional text message I think I've ever received. And it started out, "I just wanted to know you saved my life." And it went on from there to talk about his survivor's guilt and how he had gone from at suicide attempts to suicide ideations to, at the moment he got into the mentor leadership class, was really and truly thinking about suicide again.
What I love in hearing that story, while trying to keep it together, is that when you say you help the families, I mean, that is a clear and absolute, it's a fabulous example of how you reach out to, or how you're available for the families. And I mean, the fact that the point of contact was actually made to the little girl through the school because of the behavior she was exhibiting. And then from there, that kind of bled into like the family unit so that the dad was getting help. And then really, that's like an entire healing process for the whole family. Because I'm sure, whether, I don't know if there's other children involved, but particularly like with the mom, that must be a pretty big emotional, like, you know, the daughter's getting help, the husband's getting help, and that helps the family. So you don't just say you help families. You actually are there to help entire families.
Yeah. I mean, some of the counseling requests for this year have been unbelievably high. So for the first two quarters of the year, our request increased 100% per month, every single month over last year. You know, that's not something you budget for, right? So after the second quarter, we had to do things a little bit differently and look at a little bit more of the crisis cases, taking them first. But when we say a crisis case, I mean, there could be that crisis case to where it's not just the veteran. It's the veteran, it's the spouse, it's the family, it's the whole unit, because you have to heal everything that's going on. You can't just heal that little one piece and expect it all to get better, does it? You know, the example of that, the four-year-old girl and her dad. But we see that all the time. I recently talked to a friend of ours who's actually a board member that talked about the fact that when he was in Afghanistan, he had lots and lots and lots of different deployments, had several things happen to him while he was in a combat zone. But all during that time he was there, his children were little. His children are now adults. What's interesting is that they still have that anxiety and that a little bit of anxiousness, that regret, and in some cases anger over what happened with him. That doesn't go away. Unless you talk to somebody, it doesn't go away. And your memory, your what's going on inside of you, that's always going to be yours. It's how you deal with it and how you can cope with what's ever there that makes that difference. It's like people ask me about PTSD all the time and what does it feel like? Try to understand why there's so many individuals now with PTSD. I said, well, number one, people talk about it more. And number two, the trauma that people experience has become greater. Everything we do. I mean, if you watch the news on television, if you have been experienced in any of the unrest that happens in the United States occasionally, you've seen it. Sometimes you've witnessed it firsthand. There's trauma in that. The thing about it is, with people in the military, the trauma they've experienced 70% more trauma than most normal people. So that repeated trauma experience, it has an effect on me. And where you have to be really hyper-vigilant and hyper-aware of your surroundings, how do you turn all of that off when you come back and you're a civilian? You have to be in normal life.
So with all of that, is there, like, if somebody comes to you, whether it's active military, former military, a spouse, an adult child, a teenage child, if somebody reaches out to your organization, is there a time limit? Like, if I come to you tomorrow and saying, like, you know, I need some help, my dad was in the military or whatever, is there like, okay, so they get like 3 months or 6 months? Like, how does that look for somebody that is wanting the help? Or sitting at home listening to this podcast and thinking, you know, we could use this, or I have a family member or a friend that I think could really benefit them.
Well, there's a couple of answers to that question. You know, first off, we are privately funded through events and donations and grants. We don't have any federal funding, so the counseling is dependent on how much our funding is. As for how long the counseling is, it depends on the individual and what that need is. We've had some people that they've had 3 sessions and that's enough. We have other people that take 6 sessions. We have some that take 9. What we can't do is lifetime counseling. So somebody that has a chronic depression or a chronic psychosis, that is not something that we're equipped to be able to deal with. They need to see different help through other organizations or sometimes their own insurance company. And I will tell you that a lot of times they don't even understand what's available to them in that realm. So that's one of the things that we kind of will talk about. For veterans, you know, one of the questions we ask, are you registered with the VA? The VA is a great viable option. Yes, there's a waiting list. Well, right now we have a waiting list. Yes, there's some caveats to it. But for those individuals that are qualified, why not seek that help? Whatever it's going to look like.
Oh, exactly. I love that. And I'm going to kind of backtrack a bit because you mentioned something in the previous story, but I'm making notes here so I don't forget anything. But do you find, I mean, it may sound like a silly question, but again, just for our listening audience, Do you find that like holidays, particularly things like Thanksgiving and Christmas, like I'm from Canada, so we have a little bit more of a break between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But here in the U.S., that was one of the things I had to get used to was like once Halloween came, it was like boom, boom, boom. Like it is a season completely. But do you find that like this time of year, it does dredge up more? Like there's either more people seeking for it or it just becomes the holidays can be a lot harder for people because of loss, sadness, hardship. Holidays just seem to kind of go hand in hand with that. If you're struggling with something or dealing with something or have been dealing with something, the holidays seem to make it a little more pronounced. Do you notice that with what you guys are doing?
What we've seen over the past few years is that the counseling requests that happen in November and December, they go down a little bit. But in January, after you get over the euphoria of the holidays, they kind of go up, sometimes pretty significantly. And it really kind of depends. What we find is if there's Veterans Day, we'll see an increase. Memorial Day, we'll see an increase. Around the 4th of July, we'll see an increase. If there's any event in the U.S. or anywhere around the world that's in the news that is takes people back to when they were in that stressful combat situation, we'll see an increase. Any news?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, do you ever have people that they're not actually seeking for themselves or even their own family, but reach out to you on behalf of another family or a neighbor, somebody in their community, somebody that they work with? Do you ever have that? And then how, if you do, how do you deal with that? Because there's sort of that, there's kind of a fine line there, right? I would think like it'd be one thing to know somebody or see somebody struggling and want to help, hear about your organization, think, I think you guys would be great. But then how do you eloquently and delicately then reach out to that person without it becoming a situation, an unpleasant or an awkward situation?
It kind of depends. We've had that experience before. And in some cases, the individual who is needing the help knows we might call. And, you know, those are a lot easier. But the truth of the matter is, they have to take that first step, because the very first step is to complete an application online so that our case managers can call and get the rest of the story. And if they don't take that first step, there's not a lot we can do. And we have in the past with individuals who are trying to seek help, if we know their past, we know maybe they have been suicidal in the past, that we do call about a wellness check because legally we're required to. But the other piece of it is, this is all covered by HIPAA. And one of the things that we pride ourselves and that individuals in both the active and veteran status, it's confidential. So whatever they tell us, we don't even tell their counselors about it. We let them share with their counselors. We don't ask the counselors to send us records. All we ask them to do is to complete a survey before and after each session to tell us how they're doing, because it doesn't help if we pay for this counseling and they're not getting any better. So we want to make sure that they're getting better, and that survey is what helps us know that. And if we see any dips in the survey, then we can call out and say, hey, we've seen this. What's going on? Do we need to look at a new counselor? Is some other trauma happened? Is there some other stressor that's happened that caused this dip? And we get those answers. But because we do that, we have an 89% success rate for people that start counseling to the end counseling that they say through that survey that they've been better. That to me is the best statistic I can read. I can talk statistics all day long, but that right there, that's the statistic that hits me.
That is amazing. 89% success rate. That is pretty amazing with 3 paid employees and everything else being volunteer. That's massive. So when it comes to, because you mentioned or you have already mentioned that you don't get funding. Like you don't, this isn't a government funded thing. This is all based on like donations. So when it comes to the funding, what is your biggest need right now?
Still counseling, I'll be honest. We saw that huge uptick, and we did have to go on a waiting list for a little bit. So we've started now, you know, taking people off the waiting list, which I'm really excited about. Being in prior service, it just kills me to see that I can't do this right now. But the great thing about this community is that there's a lot of resources out here. And so when we can't do something, if we can't get that counseling going on right now, I know other organizations that can or that are willing to be able to help. And even our counselors, they'll do pro bono work occasionally for us, for individuals. They're amazing. The biggest thing, again, is making sure we have the funding to get the counseling in and fulfill that need.
Perfect. Okay. So you do work like you do other organizations or other, that's great. Because yeah. I think especially when it's all like for a common good, if you all have a common goal to help people, then if you can't take somebody on or they're better somewhere else, I think that's wonderful because it's ultimately about helping that individual or that family. So where can people find you? We're going to include this for those of you listening. We are going to include this in the show notes, but since I have Anna on the video right now, but since I have her live, just tell us where, for those of us listening that want to get involved in some way, whether that's funding or can people reach out to you and fill out an application as far as volunteer work or things like that? Talk a little bit about where we can find you, how we can give, how we can help, and how we can support.
Absolutely. So basically, a lot of the forms and the starting point is our website at camaraderiefoundation.org. There's volunteer applications out there. There's the application for counseling. There's donation links. If anybody is interested in racing, we do have an event coming up on Thanksgiving morning. For a rucksack race combined with the Oviedo Turkey Trot. So that's out there on our website. We have, and to be honest, you can always call. The phone number, if somebody doesn't answer, I can promise you that somebody will give you a call back, 407-841-0071, or email me directly, which I'm sure you'll put in the notes, but that's a long email.
Yeah, We will. Yeah, don't worry. And if you didn't catch that number, if you're driving, listening, because I know I drive and listen to podcasts all the time, we are going to have all this information included in the show notes so people can certainly find you. Now, your located in Orlando. Is that correct?
The main office is in Orlando. We have a satellite office in the Tampa. But to be honest, most of us are all working remote. There's just three of us, right?
Right. So,
I kind of say we have really two satellite offices. We started in Orlando, so we have our main little satellite office in Orlando, and then we have a little satellite office in Tampa. But we're all working remotely, and I always say I work wherever I am.
Right. Now, are there any... Yeah, because you came down to Tampa for that event, which was so nice to meet you. And I cannot remember the name of the gentleman that was with you, but I got to meet the two of you, which was really nice. Now... What are there any plans to expand or open up more, like, you know, other, I guess, like with a lot of it being remote, it's not really necessary to have an office or an on-site facility, but some people still like to be able to walk into a building or know that for some reason there's this comfort level in knowing that there's a place. Any plans to expand or open up other offices or have other offices in other cities?
That's definitely something that is that we've talked about in the past. We know that the most of our clients are from the Florida area. 47% of our clients, our counseling clients, are coming from the Tampa Bay area. Beyond that, the next highest percentage, other than other Florida regions, is Texas. So we've looked at what should we do? Where should we be in Texas if that's our next spot? But then after that, it's North Carolina. So we've kind of got those three hubs going. But to be honest, our clients are everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Having the remote access, it allows you to work with anybody, anywhere. Different. So with that being said, have you ever been involved with or called to help somebody that is maybe overseas currently on active duty that needs help and support right now? Because I completely understand and can get that once people come home and it's time to transition back into normal life, how difficult that would be. But what about in the moment when the trauma, when all that stuff's happening, Can you work with or help people, or have you even been asked to?
We have been asked to. We've actually helped. We've helped individuals in 48 different states and I think 4 countries now that have called us for assistance. A lot of the ones that are coming to us from other countries are individuals that are expats, and they're doing work in that country for one reason or the other. And they come to us and we get them counseling through telehealth. Most of the counseling that we do is face-to-face, which is why we have 650-some-odd counselors all across the nation. And where we don't have a counselor, if somebody's wanting to see somebody face-to-face, we start working with that individual to find the counselor that they want and to have them contract with us.
That's wonderful. I mean, I really, when I had the time to sit down and go through your website, I was just, it really got me in the feels for what you're doing with really a very small paid staff and relying so much on donations and outside support just to fund the projects and what you're doing, and how what you're doing really spiderwebs into that family unit. The ability to have that awareness, or other people that can recognize, like going back to the 4-year-old girl, like recognizing something and then going, okay, this needs to be addressed. And then from there, it just growing from there. So you're providing a platform with massive healing potential for families, not just individuals, but families. And that, to me, when we heal, we help to heal individuals and then we help to heal families, we're really helping to heal our community, because ultimately everybody has a place and a purpose in our community, and we need to have them feeling good and happy and healed to do that. So I applaud and I have massive respect for what you guys are doing. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I just said it's an honor to serve.
Well, thank you very much. So Anna, I want to thank you so much, so, so much for being on the show. I would love to have you back on again in the new year, because we're almost at the end of this one, if you can believe it, and hear more about this. I 89% success rate. I'm just gobsmacked by that statistic. And I think that is incredibly poignant in as far as being a testament to just what you're doing and how well you're doing it. And with 47% of those in need being right here in our state, there's definitely a huge call to action by the rest of us to step up and support and help in any way that we can. And again, doesn't always have to be money, although money is something that is needed to fund these programs and to pay pay for things to happen so that they can happen. It's also just in showing up and being there. So volunteering is huge, and just being present and showing support and bringing attention to it. So thank you so much, Anna, for being on the show. And for those of you listening, please share this with friends and family. Share this with somebody that you think it could really benefit. Know that the Camaraderie Foundation is very easily accessible online. They have a fantastic website. All the information is there. Together, we can heal families and heal our community. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Tanya.
Looking forward to having you back. And thank you, listener, for joining us. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. And I look forward to seeing you and talking with you again. Take care, everybody. Be well.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.